Welcome back to At Home in Your Hymnal, Pastor Poppy, Pastor Moline. We're taking a look at Divine Service Setting 1 in Lutheran Service Book. Specifically today, we're looking at that familiar and very, very popular hymn of praise, This is the Feast. I think that in the time that I've served as a pastor, and I was a young high schooler, just out of high school and such, when Lutheran worship was introduced in my home congregation back in West Point, there was lots and lots of resistance with regard to a new hymnal and new liturgies. But I think universally the one thing that everybody loved from day one was this particular hymn of praise. And the only knock that I've heard from some pastors with regard to This is the Feast is that it's kind of long. And people who are always nervous and worried about the length of the worship service, maybe we can sing something a little shorter. And Divine Service 2 does that. It takes This is the Feast, different tune, different setting, and it's about half as long. So at some point in time, we'll dig into that particular hymn of praise as well. At the beginning, with our bumper music leading into this particular segment, segment 3 of episode 16, we heard verse 2 of This is the Feast. Power, riches, wisdom, and strength, and honor, blessing, and glory are his. Now, Lutherans oftentimes are critical, maybe hypercritical, of praise songs that just kind of say the same thing over and over again. We jokingly refer to some praise songs as 7-11 songs. You sing 7 words, 11 verses, or 11 words, 7 verses, that kind of a thing. There seems to be a little bit of that going on here, maybe more than a little bit. What is this long line of attributes that we are stringing together with regard to who God is, what makes him worthy, all that kind of stuff? And is this simply stroking God's ego, or is there something else going on here, Pastor?
Well, it's not something that we've strung together. This is, again, an exact quote from the Holy Spirit through the Scriptures in Revelation chapter 5. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing. And so we sing all those things as an exact quote from Scripture. The only difference is we switch blessing and glory around for the sake of the meter and the tune. Otherwise, it is an exact quote from Scripture here. And this is telling us who God is then. He's the one who has the power to do anything he wants. All wealth that exists and is worth anything belongs to him. The beginning of wisdom begins with faith in him, and the reason that is because he is wisdom incarnate, the Word made flesh. He has strength and ability to do anything. We talked about that as well. Has honor, blessing, and glory. That's what we give to him because of his identity and who he is as well.
You know, there is a confessional nature with any time that we're singing a hymn, a true hymn, or the various parts of the liturgy. And I'm not talking about the confession we talked about a couple of episodes ago where we are confessing our sin. I'm talking about making that public confession, that same saying back to God, the words he has given us here. How is saying back to God the very words of Scripture, like we heard here in verse 2 of This is the Feast, how is this confessional in nature?
Well, it's confessional, and maybe this is where it's separated from praise songs as well, in that it is us telling God, this is what you told us, and we understand it and hear it, and we're speaking it back to you because if it comes from your mouth, it must be true. It's not some emotional thing within us. It's not some great idealized version of God that a philosopher's come up with. This is the exact word of God, and we're speaking it back to him because he told us it.
I remember very well one of my professors during seminary days, Dr. Paul Robbie, who's family originated up in northeast Nebraska near my hometown, the Robbies. Of course, they call it Raby up in the Wisner, Nebraska area. But Dr. Raby, Old Testament scholar, now retired, wonderful, wonderful man, and a brilliant man as well. Dr. Raby used to say that God loves it when we say back to God the exact things he has given to us in his word. It means that we know it and that we believe it. And God loves it, even when we take the promises of God that seem foreign to us. Maybe things are going bad in our lives, and we take the promises that God said, God, you said you were going to be with us. That God loves it when we take his word, take his promises, and stick them right back in his nose. What do you think of that, Pastor?
Well, I even do that as a parent, you know. Tell the kids, I want you to start the dishwasher after you put your dishes in there. And they say, yep, yep. And I said, okay, now tell me exactly what I said. And, you know, half the time they can't because they weren't paying attention and they didn't really listen. But if they're able to say back what you told them, that means they have heard it and that they understood it and that they agree with it. And I think that's the same thing God's doing.
And we are rattling off, in a sense, the attributes of God, the way those attributes of God are displayed in love, in grace, in mercy, in favor toward this new possession of God, his people. Power, riches, wisdom, strength, honor, blessing, glory. They're his. They belong to him. And by grace through faith, they're now ours. Isn't that amazing? We want to listen now to verses 3 and 4 of This is the Feast. And verses 3 and 4 are strung together. There's no refrain in between them. So if you have your hymnals out, page 155, This is the Feast, verses 3 and 4. Okay, we're back, and thanks for listening. That was verses 3 and 4 and the refrain from This is the Feast, page 155 in LSB, the hymn of praise, very popular hymn of praise in divine service, setting 1. Pastor, some thoughts on verse 1. Sing with all the people of God and join in the hymn of all creation. Let's look at the first part. Sing with all the people of God. What is happening there, and how is that mission, evangelism, outreach oriented in that particular line?
Well, even more than saying it's mission and outreach oriented, I mean, I think all of God's word is that, because the word is creating faith wherever it's preached in its truth and purity. I think it's describing the reality that is pictured in the book of Revelation in chapter 7, where St. John looks and a great multitude that no one could number from every nation, tribe, and people and language standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes with palm branches in their hands and crying out with a loud voice, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. In other words, they're singing this very song, and all the people of God are pictured there, you and me, and all those who have departed in the faith before us, and all those who will depart in the faith after us. They're already pictured there in heaven singing this song before Jesus as he sits on his throne.
That brings to mind the celebration that we have on All Saints Day, when we are remembering those who have died in the faith that are already in heaven, and we look forward in joyous anticipation to joining with them, our loved ones, once again. I'm also reminded of those words in the proper preface, with angels and archangels and all the company of heaven. In the second line in verse 3, it says, join in the hymn of all creation. Now, we've already said that not all people are going to go to heaven. So how can this be the hymn of all creation?
Well, it's a hymn about Jesus, and all the creation declares the glories of the Lord. And so in that sense, it is this very idea of talking about who God is that all creation sings. All might not be saved, and yet the truth is that on the last day, all will kneel before Jesus and understand that the things we're saying here are true, that worthy is he for dying for sin, and all riches, wisdom, strength, honor, blessing, and glory belong to him. That might, for those who are in the faith, be good news and will inherit the heavenly kingdom because of that. For those who have no faith, that's a terrifying reality that is still true whether they want it to be or not.
And so Jesus is the author of all creation. Through him, all things were made. So in that respect, a hymn to Jesus is a hymn of all creation, because through him, all things were created. And also, Jesus shed his blood and died for all creation, redeeming not only people, but changing the whole world, the whole ontology of things, by the power of his death and resurrection. So whether you believe it or not, this objective truth is there. Christ has shed his blood for all creation. One last thing here, verse 4, strings together all those wonderful attributes again: blessing, honor, glory, and might be to God and the Lamb forever. The one thing that's different or new or added in to that last part of verse 4 is now God and the Lamb are listed or sung to separately. What's happening here, Pastor?
Well, I think they're not separately, but together. And this, again, reflects the book of Revelation.
Individually is maybe
they're
how
listed.
I should say.
Yes.
They're listed individually,
yes.
But they are together. Thank
and that's
you.
The way that it is in the book of Revelation. It's kind of odd. In the midst of the vision of St. John, the book of Revelation, there's a throne. And at different times, it talks about how God is sitting on the throne, pictured as God the Father. At different times, there's also the Lamb in the midst of the throne, standing there in the middle of it. And so you see Jesus there, the Lamb who was slain. And also surrounding the throne there, we see the Holy Spirit as a fire and lampstands and all this sort of business going on. And so what it's doing is it's teaching us the Holy Trinity, because we see that when we talk about God, especially in heaven, we can't talk about just Jesus. We have to talk about the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit together as one God in three persons in one God.
So this is an allusion, at least. It's not a direct reference, but it's an allusion to the Trinitarian nature of God. One God in three persons in one God. And that blows people's minds when they read Revelation 4 and 5 together. Because Revelation 4, you have God the Father sitting on the throne. Revelation 5, you have God the Son sitting on the throne. It's like, wow, is there two thrones here? What are we doing? But we, in our feeble nature, we cannot see how God is one and yet reveals himself to us in three distinct and separate persons. This is a mystery that we can't fully grasp, but it's a mystery that we love, we enjoy, and we believe because God's Word teaches us. We need to take a short break. This is At Home in Your Hymnal. We're looking at Divine Service 1 specifically. This is the feast. When we come back, we're going to look at the end of This is the Feast and blow your mind, because This is the Feast really isn't a new hymn after all.